Let me bid welcome to everyone again. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. And again, we say it so often, but say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. And there is an outline in the bullet this morning if you'd like to follow along with the lesson. It may be one that you're very familiar with coming from the Old Testament. But I take the lesson title from the scripture that was read to us this morning. In Hosea chapter 8, verse 7, then they sow the wind, but they reap the whirlwind. So I ask the question, your introduction, why tell this Old Testament story? Well, the New Testament tells us why the Old Testament is of still value. Paul said in Romans, for example, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Apostle Paul says, so whatsoever things were written aforetime, meaning the Old Testament, were written for our learning. Right, so there's something about that Old Testament that I need to learn. And then Paul continues, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So there's something in the Old Testament that gives us hope. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the Apostle Paul said it this way. Now these things, he just mentioned some things that happened in the Old Testament. Since these things happened to them as examples. So I need to learn something about what they did or said. Then he continues, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. I'm going to learn something from an Old Testament story. That's our lesson this morning. So the background of the text, because some of you may not be familiar with Hosea or the history of that. Some of probably, I have difficulty finding Hosea in the Old Testament. See? So we have to look it up. But in the history of Israel, God's people, Remember when they went into the promised land, they were ruled by judges. And then they didn't want to be ruled by judges. They said, we want a king. So God gave them kings, and there was a united kingdom. All of them were under one king. First king being Saul, the next king being David, and then Solomon. When Solomon died, the promised land divided into the north and the south. The northern kingdom began to be called Israel, and Jeroboam was their first king. That was one that they chose. They didn't like Solomon's son, Rehoboam. They said, we want somebody else. So the south became known as Judah, and Solomon's son, Rehoboam, became their first king. So then there's this history of kings in the north and the south. So God raises up prophets to preach to them and tell them how they need to turn from idols and serve the living God. So that's Hosea. He's at the end of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Hosea, he's God's messenger. In Hosea 1 verse 1, says the word of the Lord that came to Hosea. So what Hosea preaches and what he tells them is what God wanted said. So being the preacher, the prophet to the congregation of God's people, Hosea goes to this northern kingdom of Israel. He preaches approximately 30 years. His preaching to Israel ends when they are taken captive by Assyria because they didn't repent. So God sent a nation in to take them away. So now Hosea's message becomes a lesson for Judah, the southern kingdom that remained for another 120 years. And now it's going to be a lesson for us. What can I learn from an Old Testament story? The lesson text in Hosea chapter 8 lists at least four. There's more. But I'll just summarize it with these four sins and wrongs that Israel, God's people, did. First, in verse 1, says, they transgressed my covenant, rebelled against my law, God says. Oh, that's a serious charge. Lawbreakers. In verse 4, they set up kings, but God said, but not by me. in verse, also in verse 4, says they made idols for themselves.
Oh.
And in verse 11, made many altars for sin. They become altars for sinning.
Ooh, the altar that was made, was to be used as a sacrifice for sin's forgiveness, became an altar to commit sin.
Wow. Hosea preaches a rather disturbing message to these people, God's people. The message of sowing and reaping, I put in your notes too, is not only found here by Hosea. Moses, before the people went into the promised land, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, Moses says to God's people, it'll come to pass, if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments and His statutes which I command you this day, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Sowing and reaping. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in Galatians 6, verse 7, don't be deceived.
Oh, I got to take something to heart.
Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Am I going to be able to get away with this? No, God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap.
Wow.
So here's Hosea's message, one that's continued throughout Old and New Testaments. We're going to reap what we sow. Hosea says, you're going to reap more than you sow. You sow the wind, but you're going to reap a whirlwind. So here are some things that Hosea brings to the attention of God's people in the Old Testament. So I put, what did they sow that was so wrong? Number one, think for a moment. You know, there was, when I was teaching school, there was a staff development day. There was a speaker that they brought in to educate the teachers, so to speak. And this particular guest speaker that came in to motivate us to be good at teaching began the lesson by saying, change cannot change unless you change. And then he just paused. He said it again. Change cannot change, or isn't change, unless you change. Well, that's Hosea saying to Israel. Change isn't change unless you change. First thing Hosea says, number one, in chapter 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's not a lack of worldly wisdom. A lack of knowledge of God's Word. I want to learn from that. I don't want to reap that. You know, in also in chapter 4 of Hosea, in verse 1, he repeats this same lesson. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Still in chapter 4, verse 6, you've rejected knowledge. In verse 10, you ceased obeying the Lord. Wow, Hosea, you said that four times just in one chapter. Must be an impressive message that needs to be heard. You're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, knowledge of God's Word is necessary for our life, our spiritual life. Peter said it this way, as newborn babes, in other words, as new Christians, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I need the Word to grow in faith, in knowledge, in learning how to serve. I need God's Word. How should I minister? I need God's Word. Hosea said to his congregation, you're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. God's Word helps us. There's value in it. That's why, either when we always say when we assemble for worship,
And these elements, these events in worship include, you know, our singing, and we offer our prayers, and we've observed the Lord's Supper, and we give our means, and then someone, you know, like me stands up and gives a lesson, calls attention to the Word of God. David said in Psalm 119, verse 9, he asked the question, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, O God. In Psalm 119, verse 11, says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So there's value and treasure in the word of God. There's something that I need to learn from God's word. And Hosea's congregation was going to be destroyed because they didn't listen to the word of God. Number 2, chapter 4, verse 12. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols. In verse 17 of the same chapter, it says, Israel is joined to idols. They join themselves to idols, and they seek counsel from their idols. Isaiah, another prophet, along with Hosea, describes the foolishness of falling down to idols. So when Isaiah, who's also a prophet and a preacher for Israel, Isaiah says in Isaiah 44, verse 9, those who make an image, all of them are useless. Idols are useless, Isaiah said. In verse 10 of Isaiah 44, who would form a god or mold an image that profits him nothing? But Israel is doing that. They're making wooden idols and bowing down to them and asking that wooden idol for counsel. Isaiah continues, the wood that is used to make an idol is used for other things. In verse 16, he burns half of it in a fire. With this half, he eats meat, roasts the roast, and is satisfied. Even warms himself. And the rest, meaning of the wood, he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and worships it, prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. An idol. Isaiah said it again, just like Hosea, repeating his message over and over again. Isaiah said it in the very next chapter, chapter 45. Isaiah said, assemble yourselves and come. But Isaiah has a message too. It says, draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved image. And they pray to a God that cannot save, Isaiah says. And then he says, thus saith the Lord, there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Wow. So Hosea and Isaiah are both preaching a similar message to their congregation. You created idols and you ask counsel from them. They can't save. The preacher says they're useless. I would think Isaiah and Hosea, back up a little bit. That's not going to be a message readily received. They've given themselves to idols and you're saying don't do that. But before we condemn them so easily, the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3, verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are upon the earth, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Oh, we may not have the wooden idol, but we've idolized other things in our life that we need to put away. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Because a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Idolatry. Number 3. In Hosea 5, verse 13. What else is wrong with Israel? It says, when Israel saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, that Ephraim was the dominant tribe in the north. So they went to Assyria, and they sent to King Jerob, yet he cannot cure you, the preacher said. in verse 8 of Hosea chapter 5. They've gone up to Assyria. Like a wild donkey, alone by itself, Ephraim, or Israel, has hired lovers. So when they got into trouble, realizing their need for help, they didn't go to God, not the God of heaven. They went to Assyria. They tried to negotiate peace. Said, if I give you this, will you not come and take us? But there was that nation that eventually took them captive. So when you and I need help, where are we going to go? We're going to go to our world and say, will you help me? Will you save me? Will we go to what the world offers instead of what God offers? They went to Assyria. They went to the enemy. Number 4, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 13, what else did they do? Hosea says, you plowed wickedness. You've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies. Because you trusted in your own way in the multitude of your mighty men. Again, I put in your notes, the Bible warns about putting our trust in the wrong place. Solomon said it in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, meaning the God of heaven. He'll direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. So when we've done that which is wrong, are we going to trust in mighty men? In Proverbs 23, verse 5, it says, will you set your eyes on that which is not? And Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, thank God in His prayer, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. I'm not going to trust in my own ways or in the wisdom of mighty men. I'd be wise according to the world's knowledge, but not wise in God's knowledge. So if I'm going to run for help for my sins and my wickedness, I'm going to look up instead of looking around. And that was Hosea's message. You plowed wickedness. You're going to reap iniquity. You put your trust in your own way. That's what some people do. They just simply say, I think this is right. Oh, God, I know God says that, but I just think this is the best thing. Hosea says, don't do that. Number 5, in Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. Again, O Ephraim, or Israel, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? Your faithfulness. All right, now let's take it home. My faithfulness. Make it personal. I want to learn from this. Hosea said, your faithfulness is like a morning cloud. And like the early dew, it goes away. What do you mean by that? I'll put in your notes. They had fickle faith. Meaning now you have it, now you don't. And we're called upon in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. But Hosea says, Israel, you have fickle faith. You're like the morning cloud. You're like the morning dew. You're here one moment and not here the next. That's not a compliment. Number 6, Hosea 7, verse 8. Again, Ephraim, or Israel, has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Now, I'm not a cook. I already know that. However, consider a griddle cake, and that's Hosea's illustration here. You're golden brown on the bottom and a gooey mess on top. Then you're not cooked all the way through. It's unturned. Well, that's Hosea says, Israel, you're like that cake. You're half-baked. Again, that's not a compliment. Characterize us as half-baked would mean that we're wishy-washy. And we can't be counted upon. It means that we're undesirable, undependable. We're not reliable. We're a cake unturned. Oh. And number 7. In chapter 7, verse 11. Again, Ephraim or Israel, you're like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt. You go to Assyria. Wherever they go, Hosea said, meaning God's message to them, I'll spread my net on them. I'll bring them down like birds of the air. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Ah, going the opposite direction. Instead of going to God. You know, again, a silly bird, meaning you're not sensible. You're not thinking right about God. You're not walking in His ways. Oh, you silly dove. Sounds cute. No. Israel knew better, but they didn't do better. And the trapper is going to get them. Interesting. Hosea is just in these last few points. He's called his congregation a wild donkey, a morning cloud, a half-baked cake, and a silly dove. And he still has a job.